Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Get down with Gartner. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Good afternoon, New York sports fans. I'm Danielle McCartan. Danielle in the daytime. I'll be talking to all things New York sports with you up until week one, New York Giants pregame. That's at 2:10 right here on The Fan. And you got Big Zoo, Ed Arzuman, and I. We are working on a weekend like usual. And we are coming to you live from the Carton and Roberts studio here in Lower Manhattan. And welcome into the overnight listeners. I see you guys and the brand new sets of ears that are tuned in right now. You guys know the number. It's already pre-programmed into your phones. Come on now, 877-337-6666. And as always, please, let's load them up with your best content only. Hey, so I mentioned yesterday after my show, I went over to the Odyssey and Nash FM Stars and String show at Pier 17. It was an awesome concert. Right there on the rooftop, Pier 17, you've never been. It's when you're looking at the stage, it's got the Brooklyn Bridge behind there. I mean, and you looked over your left shoulder and you saw the blue beams shooting up into the night sky from the World Trade Center behind you. I mean, it was awesome. I got to meet some of the Nash FM family, which is cool, which is Odyssey, which is us. And I'm telling you this because this morning I woke up, well, my alarm went off at 5:30 this morning, but I did not get up until 6. You know why? Because I had the Subway Series game on DVR. It's fine. I mean, I already knew that the Yankees won, but I wanted to know how. I wanted to get a feel for the game. So here I am loading up Yankees Mets at 6 a.m. this morning. And I'm just going to be honest. I watched most of it, not all of it. I had to jump in the car and come here. I literally got dressed in 5 seconds and came here. So with all that said, you know, the Yankees and the Mets, I watched through probably like the sixth or seventh inning I watched. And, you know, the Yankees and the Mets, they took the field on the 20th anniversary of September 11th. You know that. And then, like I said yesterday, there were a lot of things that Rob Manfred and baseball have done wrong. But this, in this series, with these two teams on that day, was not one of them. I just thought, just the whole thing between the Yankees and Mets, it was just so well done. Standing next to each other during the pregame, you know, alternating Yankee Met, Yankee Met, Yankee Met. I thought that was awesome. For Joe Torre and Bobby Valentine in their New York uniforms, embracing each other after they threw out the first pitches simultaneously. I was wrong on that. What I read was that Valentine was going to pitch it to Torre, but I guess they both threw it. I don't know. I loved how the Mets altered their uniforms to read New York instead of Mets. I thought that was a great touch. And of course, the players wearing the caps of all of the first responders, FDNY, NYPD, Port Authority Police, Department of Sanitation, and the Department of Correction. And then John Smoltz in the pregame said, he said, the players feel it. They know that it's not just another day. And here's Aaron Judge after the game.
It means the world to me. You know, this was for the city. You know, this was, you know, for the Yankee fans, for everybody, you know, affected on this day. This was more than just a baseball game tonight. You know, it was an honor to be able to be out there and be on that field, be able to, you know, represent New York. It's tough to describe, you know, like I said.
And that it was. I mean, it was a beautiful tribute by Major League Baseball, by the Yankees, by the Mets to commemorate the 20th anniversary of 9/11. So prior to the game, the Yankees called a team meeting, which I'm going to go out on a real limb here and say that it was a players-only meeting, although it hasn't been confirmed or denied, anything I've seen anyway. But Aaron Judge said, he said, I don't really want to get into it, but it was a mix of a couple individuals, and he named a few. He said, this is a quote from him, Squid, Higgy, Kluber, quite a few guys that wanted to talk and say a couple things, but we got the message across, and time to keep it rolling, end quote there. So that was interesting to see how he named the speakers besides himself as Kluber, Higashioka, and Andrew Velasquez, a kid who's got exactly 64 major league at-bats to his name. I'm actually not sure how I feel about that because you can look at it two ways. Was he a kid stepping out of line and voicing his opinion in this scenario? Possible. Or is he really someone that the other, more veteran players look to for guidance? Also possible. So until I get that answer, I'm not sure how I feel about Velasquez stepping up to speak in this meeting. And speaking of veteran players, I wonder if Brett Gardner spoke. He did say after the game, he said, one of those things where it's just kind of enough's enough. A couple of people had some things to say. I thought it went well, and maybe it worked. We won today, so hopefully we'll go on a winning streak. To me, based on that, it sounds like he did not speak in this meeting. And Judge did reveal that the message of the meeting was, he said, this is Judge again, we're still in the playoff hunt. The world's not crashing down on us, as much as it seems to be on these airways, isn't it? Remind everyone who they are, who we are. We are the New York Yankees. Judge is saying this. It's an honor and a privilege to wear these stripes and to play for this team. When you're getting to September baseball in New York, that's when it's fun. It was really just about reminding the team, everybody, and myself what we're capable of. So if we look at this game from both a Yankee and a Met perspective, from a Yankee perspective first, we are the radio network of the Yankees. You know, they entered the Saturday night game as owners of a 7-game losing streak. They lost 11 of their prior to last night, 13 games. But with that win over the Mets, the Yankees said,
it ends tonight. It ends tonight.
That's it. The Yankees last night, it ended. That's All-American Rejects from way back when. They ended it. It ended tonight. That losing streak ended last night. And love it or hate it, those New York Yankees played true to their identity last night. They had a starting pitcher pitch 4 complete innings. They used 5 relieve pitchers, and they mashed 4 home runs. And for good measure, after Judge's first home run, the Yankees went hitless in their next 16 at-bats, up until Brett Gardner led off the 8th inning with a single. So that's it. Last night's game was the epitome of the 2021 New York Yankees. And last night, it worked. You know, earlier in the week, Trevor May provided some bulletin board material, I'm calling it that, when he said, fortunately, we are playing in our graveyard of a park, so that is helpful. We'll keep the 314-foot homers to a minimum. Trevor May. Obviously, that's a jab at Yankee Stadium and the dimensions, and his interpretation of the Yankees' home run total and how that's inflated by the ballpark in which they play. But what a difference 2 days makes, because May was singing an entirely different tune after coughing up a 413-foot bomb to Aaron Judge to tie the game in the 8th. May was actually yanked by Rojas before he even recorded a single out. Mayday! He said after the game, worst all year, and I'm never going to make a comment like that again. No more jokes about stadiums, ever. Serves you well. Also, do you guys remember when we had this whole discussion of personal catchers not long ago? Like, we talked at the beginning of the season when Gerrit Cole preferred Kyle Higashioka to Gary Sanchez behind the plate for him. Well, besides the fact that Higashioka hit a 2-run home run last night, I also talked about how I'm sure that Kluber prefers him too. After all, it was Higashioka who caught his no-hitter earlier in the season and the games leading up to it. That kind of goes lost sometimes. But anyway, remember when I said that yesterday from Kluber, I'd want to see 5 complete innings or 85 pitches, whatever came first? Well, here we are. He had 4 complete innings and 82 pitches later. And just the earned runs are a problem. They were a problem for him when he was doing his rehab assignments at the minor league level. We talked about that here. And then they're still here to haunt him because coming off the IL, he's made 3 starts, and he's given up 11 runs in 11 and 2/3 innings. not what you're looking for from your number two supposed starter. Now, from a Mets perspective. Yeah, swear it's deja vu, Beyonce. That loss last night looked a lot like all the other losses, didn't it, Mets fans? The Mets were down early. They clawed their way back to take the lead, by the way, on a 384-foot two-run McCann home run. And then they squandered the game away on an error. McCann said after the game, it was our ball game to win, and unfortunately, we couldn't hang on. Well, number one, down early. Well, Taijuan Walker has not been good as of late, has he? I mean, we talked about this. I really do think that he's hit the proverbial wall. I mean, remember the Tommy John surgery. So far this season, he's pitched 144 and two-thirds innings. Let's just round it. 145 innings this season. He hasn't pitched that much since the 2017 season. And then when you look at the seasons in between, we're talking the years 18, the year 19, 2020, he pitched a combined 120 and two-thirds innings. So you don't have to look far to realize this. Just look at pre-All-Star game and post-All-Star game Taijuan Walker, and you would not believe that that is the same player. Prior to the All-Star game, he pitched 92 and two-thirds innings. And in that time, he only allowed 6 home runs. Well, since it, and now we're talking July 18, because that's the game he pitched, you know, after the All-Star game. That was his first game. He's allowed 17 home runs since the All-Star game. And then prior to the All-Star game, his ERA was 2.66. Since it, 7.38. I said the Mets clawed their way back into the game. They did. They scored on a Pilar double, a McCann triple, a Walker single, a Baez solo home run, until that McCann two-run home run finally put them ahead in the bottom of the sixth. And then the third thing I said was they squandered the game. I mean, here's the play. Luke Voit grounded into what was a tailor-made inning-ending double play. But not so fast. Lindor got Torres at second base easily. But then on the throw to first, Javier Baez. Well, I'll tell you, I watched the replay quite a few times, and I still have a few residual questions. Did his feet get tangled up with the bag? How did he not push off his back foot? He clearly stepped to throw with the wrong foot. Or was it just a lazy play? Really? I think it was a combination of all three of those things, really. Then you got Mr. Squid Velasquez scampering home, and that was it. The Yankees took an 8-7 lead that they never relinquished after that. And had Javier Baez been able to complete the inning-ending double play, which it would have been inning-ending, this score would have been tied 7-7 at that point, going into the bottom of the eighth inning. So, deja vu all over again, isn't it? Playing nothing slow at the parking lot party. A tailgate buzz just a sippin' on suds. Ain't ever too early. Yeah, that's Lee Bryce. He didn't do this song last night. We were expecting it. But shout out to you guys posted up there at MetLife Stadium right now in your parking lots with your own parties going on right now. Thanks for making me and Big Zoo part of it, you guys. Appreciate it. So what I'm going to be looking for in the Giants game later today, I mean, it's obvious. Number one thing is obvious. The Giants offensive line. I mean, last year, Pro Football Focus ranked them 31st out of 32 teams, remember? I mean, that's awful. I mean, there were only two other teams also, too, that allowed more sacks than that unit did last season as well. I mean, with a mobile quarterback and Daniel Jones, too, I mean, that is a major weakness, to put it lightly. The Giants' offensive line is going to be the linchpin to this entire game today. I mean, how the Giants' offensive line goes will be how the game goes. And Dave Gettleman and the Giants brought in some big guns for this offense this offseason. We talked about it here, too. Dave Gettleman could have brought in Jerry Rice and Randy Moss in their primes for Daniel Jones and this offense, but without an upright quarterback, they'd both be rendered useless. Second thing I'm looking for, obviously Saquon Barkley's return. Obviously he has game-breaking potential. Will he have a game-changing play today? How much time will he actually see with the Washington game, league game, by the way, don't forget, division game, it's just on Thursday. So just a few games from now, how many touches is Saquon Barkley actually going to get? I don't think a lot. And then a little nugget about Denver. Denver allowed 4.8 yards per carry last season, and that was the third most in the league. And not many changes were made to that defensive line. But can't forget about Von Miller. He's back, and he's paired with Bradley Chubb. And that, again, circles back to the offensive line's ability to protect both the quarterback and the running back. So we'll talk about some more things about what I'm looking for in this Giants game, of course, and I'll give you my pick. That's coming up. Now on to the Jets. Oh, yeah. Sam Darnold. We are expecting, the Big Zoo and I, we are expecting a big game from Sam Darnold later today, because since the day he was traded from the Jets, I remember getting the notification. I was sitting and eating lunch in Cincinnati outside Great American Ballpark. I can't think of the area there, but that street that they closed down. I'm sitting there and I'm like, Sam Darnold traded. Wow, okay. So I actually went up into my room and I turned on NFL Network, my hotel room, and I turned on NFL Network and I was watching this. But the next move I think that everybody did was to see if the Panthers were going to be on the Jets schedule this year, which they were, they are. And guess what? Spoiler alert, 23 weeks later, that game is today. And Sam Darnold does not have to wait long to prove to his old team that he is better off without them. I mean, those are my words, not his. He actually said this: my job is to go out there and play good football, and that's all I'm talking about. He was always a good soldier, wasn't he? And then Wilson, the rookie replacement, said of Darnold, he's doing his own thing right now. He's got a great situation going for him. I think the organization already decided to go one way, and it's not because Sam's not a good football player. It's just because they wanted a fresh start. So I'm happy for him, and it's a new situation for me, and that's not even something that crosses my mind. Okay? So maybe this storyline is overblown because, as Robert Saleh put it, they don't play against each other, right? They're on the same side of the ball for different teams, so they don't actually face off with one another. I mean, he's got a point, but it's still an intriguing storyline. So what am I looking for in today's Jets-Panthers game? Well, three things. One, the ability for the Jets to just put up points, and I'm talking touchdown points, because Zach Wilson and the first-team offense were very inconsistent in putting the ball into the end zone this preseason. Inconsistent is the word. Two, offensive chemistry. I mean, they're coming into this game, these Jets, after a 2-14 regular season just 1 year ago, and they've got a brand new, first-time NFL head coach in Robert Saleh, basically a whole new coaching staff with him. Oh, yeah, and a brand-new rookie quarterback. Oh, and one more thing. Jamison Crowder is already ruled out because of COVID. So just some offensive chemistry. I'm just looking to see, like, are they on the same page? Like, are they scheming things to fit their team? And I know that sounds very silly, but I was told by a former NFL player that sometimes coaches just come in and just that's their system and you got to fit it. I couldn't believe that. That's not how it is. You have to fit your scheme to your players, right? I mean, that makes sense to me. That's how I would do it. And three, I'm also going to be looking at Sam Darnold. This is the first time he's got some talent around him to work with. I mean, something we all know that he did not have in New York during his time with the Jets. He's got his buddy Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore, oh yeah, and a guy named Christian McCaffrey. Probably went first in all of your fantasy football drafts. I don't play fantasy football. I don't have time for it. I can't be updating it. And like when I'm teaching, like say there's a roster move made, like I can't drop everything and like, kids, hold on, let me update my fantasy football team. Can't do that, so I don't play. But yeah, Christian McCaffrey, great player. And I'm excited to see what him and Darnold can do together, because everybody forgets, Sam Darnold's also a mobile quarterback. Don't forget. And I got some more Jets stuff coming for you a little bit later in the show, as well as my pick for that game too. That's all coming up. So let's get it going. I've set the table for you guys. I can't wait to talk to you. 877-337-6666 is the number. I'm Danielle McCartan in the daytime on The Fan in New York City.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.